We turn our attention now to follow on a kōrero that I had yesterday, you might recall, where we spoke with Paula Stanley from Te Runanga o Ngaitarangi. He was in the States looking at novel ways to provide low-cost housing options for whānau back here. Trailer living is quite common in the United States. So he went over to have a look at a organisation who make them en masse, and has also been talking with an indigenous bank out of California that provides better mortgage loans, if I recall. It was, you could get loans up there at 4.8, they were around 6 in this part of the globe. And he's considering importing transportable 3-bedroom homes from the US back here to sell. There's also some talk of setting up a facility to build them in Aotearoa on license to, I think it was Cavco was the name of the organisation. Anyway, joining us to have a kōrero about whether that's viable or even palatable is Professor Anthony Huete, who spent a lifetime looking at architectural issues and always has something interesting to speak of about our built environments. Thanks again for joining us on the program, Anthony. Tēnā koe, kia ora anō.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Morena.
Morena. Good to catch up with you again, Ewa. What do you think? Is there any merit in the idea to construct prefab homes overseas and ship them into Aotearoa?
Well, Dale, as you know, a lot of the mahi I've been doing is suggests that one of the ways we can intervene in the cost of housing is through the supply chain. My own research is looking in off-site fabrication, but through panelized systems. So the idea of perhaps bringing in a volumetric building, shipping in housing, is not without its merits. We do have to do something radically different. We can't keep shipping our logs abroad and then importing sawn lumber. So to change that sort of cycle, we're going to have to do something kind of drastic. And there is need for offsite fabrication to intervene in the home building process. So, yes.
Well, we also know that we can build them here, as you'd be familiar with Willie and his team. I think Toitū Taita Whiti, after the back of the cyclone, built a facility that could help construct, I think it was 6 whare at once. We're trying to keep them low cost, so looking at double insulation, double glazing, etc. All of these modern construction concepts can be interwoven in them. I've yet to see a whare that's really Māori, though. What would you say to that, Anthony? You know, we've always lived in Pākehā-designed whare for us, but we might have differing needs across the board.
Well, you know, about a week ago, in one of the courses I teach at the university is on built-to-rent housing, and we were fortunate enough, those students, to hear from Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei's Trust. Lisa Davis came in with Anaheda Rawari, and blow me away, we are seeing now that because Māori are on the bottom of the property ladder, we're at a break point now, and so the innovations I'm seeing in housing actually, and innovation are actually all coming out of the Māori space. So think about it. Somebody asked me a question, how can you get the cost of housing down? Well, we need to, for example, we need to build smaller. How do we build smaller? Well, we could start thinking of things like co-housing and sharing. And if you go back to the traditional marae setting, Māori were always sharing things like the whare kai, and we were sharing services. So what we're seeing in these new papakainga coming out is shared laundries, maybe shared kitchen facilities. I don't think we'll share the bathrooms, but that will reduce the size of the house. So you've got to think of the house, and the house of the future is being more collective, let's say iwi developer owned, therefore you can build smaller housing units, but greater numbers of them, but with shared facilities. So that's one way, I think, that we can build houses for Māori, which have based on the traditions of, say, of the marae, for example, and that is unique. And the other thing about Dale with built to rent housing is, if iwi do that kind of development, there's automatically, unlike the say a European developer, and you're looking for to market for tenants. With hapu, you have an inbuilt community. You've got that sort of structure structure innately within the community, and that also makes it a lot easier when you've actually constructed these things to fill them. And so I know that Ngāti Whātua, they don't have a problem with filling them. In fact, they end up tending to go to lotteries. So I think there are, we can, Māori can look into ourselves the way we used to live, and we can find new models which can change the face of housing here in Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe, which is a goal I think we should angle towards. If we can just touch on Powell, I mean, Powell is pretty enthused by what he found over there. I was speaking with some of my colleagues who have some concerns too about changing interest rates, and while he's been negotiating with an indigenously owned bank, you know, that comes with some risk. And then we've got what might be applicable in construction techniques and design in the States might not marry into what we're just touching on, the use of them in papakāinga situations or the like. But as a gut feeling to what Paula is doing, how might it be different to what Willy Taho is doing, for instance, negotiating with a manufacturer or house builder? I think it's in Huntly, actually, and then transporting by road across to areas of Te Whanau Apanui. Where's the difference here, sourcing it from Huntly or sourcing it from California?
Well, you know, again, I think I admire the entrepreneurial creativity of you know, say, shipping these houses around. The only downside I can imagine with shipping is that it's the scale, you know, shipping individual dwellings, which... let's face it, probably don't have cavity wall construction, probably weren't insulated and probably in single glaze. That's still former housing stock, which is probably not of the highest standards. So, of course, the future, you want to build housing, you touched on it before, you know, it's got to be double glazed, there's got to be cavity wall for to stop moisture ingress. So I think it's as a short-term solution, yes, relocation, and of houses, say, from Huntly to points around the Motu is a good idea, because you can increase the density. So once upon a time, Dale, as you know, the Kiwi dream was a single house on a quarter acre. Well, a quarter acre is 1,000 square metres. So one house per 1,000 square metres, we know it just doesn't cut it today. And so, of course, if you're shipping houses around, you can increase the density, you know. Or with cross-leasing, we can get three houses on 1,000 square metres, but you could push that up even to highest, to maybe get six of these houses on the former quarter acre section. Of course, the issue there lies in is with parking. And I think it's a good short-term solution, the housing, but I think the longer-term one is going to have to look internationally. And I think the other thing you sort of touched upon is timber. You know, we're a timber country, and as long heard me bang on about, we've got to stop shipping our logs abroad. We've got to start Māori, particularly as they own half the forest, have got to start looking at repurposing our sawmills, our Tasmans and our Kinleths, and get into mass engineering techniques and start not only boosting the housing supply but also boosting the economy through mass timber engineering techniques.
I'm still hoping that we can come up with, and one of the benefits here is the transportable nature, so they would be applicable to be used on multiply owned land. You have some gripe from your whānau or from the bank or whatever, you just lift them up and move them on. But to be honest, Anthony, I can't say that I've seen a transportable tiny home or affordable home with a very strong Māori aesthetic. I remember chatting one time with Earl Hoskins, saying that, you know, his architectural students were delving into ideas like, for instance, a kota where the facilities of the kitchen can be rotated to be sitting on the outside of the whare rather than the inside, and transportable. But just sort of these conceptual ideas that have had Māori whakaaro.
Absolutely.
I raise that because I once rented a joint that had the toilet right next to the kitchen. I never felt comfortable about it, you know, and it was a pākehā design of yesteryear. It just didn't sit very comfortably. What might you say of a lack of Māori aesthetic in the tiny homes revolution, and is there room to move here?
Absolutely. And, boy, you make me start to make me think that we should get your voice inside the architecture school. And herein lies part of the problem, Dale. Up until 2 years ago, at this university, there was no core curriculum content in relationship to things Māori. So we've been fortunate enough now to embed papakāinga design as core content within the university. But that's only happened 2 years ago. And so, you know, the outputs of that will take some time to see. But I think you've raised a brilliant spectacle. The question, why don't things look more Māori? And I can tell you at the moment, it's partly because we don't have enough Māori at architecture school. And so, you know, it's part of the reason why, you know, the only reason I came back from the UK is because it's to tackle this sort of problem of both the education system but also housing. And so you're raising an excellent question. And there are now targeted admission pathways for Māori into architecture school. The numbers of Māori architecture students today are less than when I was at architecture school back in the 90s. So that's a bit of a shock, but I'm saying this, you know, people can get my details, you can Google me. And if you want to come to Auckland Architecture School, where there's a will, there's definitely a way. So we want to train up more Māori architects, and then with that, we can make housing look more like its community.
Yeah, for sure. I'd really love to think there was a emerging company that has these tiny homes built with a whakaaro Māori. It might be interesting and it might be a point of difference. So there's a challenge for some of your tauira at Kura. Look, while I've got you there just briefly too, mate, I was kindly sent a book about Lewis Thompson. And it's a big tome, but, you know, you're an architectural man. What would you read into a book of his life? It's not all just about his architectural work. It's quite wonderful, to be honest. I've been flicking through it. It's a big tome. What do you make of it, and where does Rui sit in your understanding of Māori architecture, Anthony?
Okay, so Rui is one of the seminal Māori architects, along with John Scott and others, and also the unnamed rangatira that acted, people like Hira Te Pōpoi, you could call him an architect. But Rui obviously had a massive impact. I think the interesting comment, I always remember Rui saying that he is an architect, he's Māori, rather than he's a Māori architect, and you have to sort of think about what he meant by that. But, of course, he was, again, operating at a time probably alone by himself, and so operating against the kind of Western system. But he is seen as a huge figure and a massive loss. His portrait still is the only portrait which is on the wall in the staff room here at the university. So that tells you, speaks volumes about the respect he had amongst his peers. And so the book just serves to consolidate his sort of legacy and what he meant. Unfortunately, he didn't build as much as we would have liked. It's also quite tricky. But the other thing I think Dale can touch on about Rui is he built by doing. And as for Māori, we know that. You know, Mātauranga is passed through making things, not just talking about it and writing about it, but actually by doing things. And I know when he first left architecture school, they went straight out and started building houses, not necessarily just designing them, but building them with his bare hands. I mean, he was a fairly robust character and big physique. So, you know, he went straight into building, which I think speaks volumes about how Māori transfer knowledge.
I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks. I'm sure our people do listening in today. Thanks for spending some time talking about tiny homes, affordable homes, transportable homes, papakāinga, and prominent Māori architects, although an architect who is Māori might be a better description of Lewis Thompson. Great catching up with you again, Anthony. Thanks so much.
Kia ora, Dale. Thank you for the opportunity.
Tēnā koe, brother. Thank you. That's Professor Anthony Huete.